Head Over Heels, a story of tragedy, triumph and romance in the Australian bush. Written by Sam and Jenny Bailey and read by William McGuinness. As I went to pull out, one of my mates reminded me that our local buddy and one of Avon Downs's policemen, Peter, had said he'd like to come with us if we decided to go into town. So I turned left instead of right and changed the path of my life forever. Looking back, there were so many things that could have changed the events that day. When we got to Peter's house, he was having an afternoon nap. Would we wake him or not? We did. Then we faced another dilemma. With Peter joining our adventure, we couldn't all fit into my ute. Instead, we had to take Pete's car. But it was almost out of fuel. He could have offered not to come, or we could have abandoned the trip altogether, but we didn't. We were ready to party. We decided to siphon fuel out of my ute and put it into Peter's car. We eventually found an old bit of garden hose that was perfect for the job. I stuck one end of the hose inside my petrol tank, and on the other end I sucked like hell. I smelled the fuel almost instantly, and then a moment later the taste hit my mouth. And spluttering, I pushed the end of the hose into an old jerry can. We half-filled the can and then repeated the exercise to get the contents of the jerry can into Peter's petrol tank. Finally, we piled into Peter's car, Alex beside him and Jono and me in the back, and headed east to Camarwheel. Already, we could taste that ice-cold beer at the end of the road. We were talking and laughing, telling yarns about the week's events. Then something exploded. The front tyre of Peter's sedan had punctured, releasing 35 pounds of air pressure in an instant. Like a fish caught on a hook, the car zigzagged drunkenly down the roadway before skewing left. It leapt the roadside gutter and cartwheeled through the Mitchell grass. All these years later, I can still vividly remember red-brown dust and dirt flying over the windscreen. It was like dancing with a wild dust storm. That's all I saw before being thrown violently out the back window. I guess, in all the excitement, it had never entered my head to put on a seatbelt. Having grown up on a property and having worked mainly in the bush, I didn't have that automatic reaction to buckle up. I used to wonder how different my life might have been if I'd click-clacked in the back of Peter's car that day. At that point, there's a permanent void in my memory. I don't remember being thrown out the window. I don't remember anyone screaming. I don't recall hearing the crunching of the steel car body yielding to the uncompromising, hard, dry earth. A few moments I've lost forever. Perhaps I lost consciousness, or perhaps my brain chooses to forget. We tend to shut out the worst of it in most events of extreme emotion. The next thing I do remember is lying on the side of the road. I was oblivious to the vast blue outback sky stretching 180 degrees above me, nor did I see the endless plains of the Barkly Tablelands spread hundreds of miles as far as the eye could see. My world had shrunk to a tuft of grass sticking into my ear. The spiky ends were pushing painfully into the soft, suntanned flesh. That was all I could feel. I couldn't feel my bruised body lying on the packed earth. I couldn't feel the shirt on my back or the boots on my feet. There was no searing pain from a broken limb. No throbbing cuts or grazes. Nothing. Then I tried to get up. I was sending out signals from my brain, but there was no answer. The phone was ringing, but no one was home.